Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, happy Father's Day, everyone. I'm so happy that you have tuned in. I'm so happy to be there with you on this Father's Day Sunday, and I'm ready to share with you God's Word. Hey, dads, we love you guys. You know, we love dads, but sometimes it is hard to show dads or hard to know how to show our dads how much we love them. Like this girl, for example. Look at this photo. I mean, she means well. She's got the right heart, but, you know, it's not the right way. And it doesn't help that all of the ads and commercials for Father's Day are not quite the same as the ads and commercials for Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day, there's a sale on diamonds at the local jewelry shop. And for Father's Day, it's like socks are on sale at Indomart or your local convenience store. It just doesn't seem fair sometimes. I mean, I know we don't carry a baby for 9 months and we don't go through the delivery, but we were there in the beginning. I mean, we had some part in the whole process. And so, you know, for dads, I think today everyone needs to tell your dad you love him. Give him a call, send him a text or a WhatsApp, email, whatever you do, because dads take a lot of abuse. You know, on Father's Day, we have the opportunity. I heard a joke this week. This is some of the abuse we take as dads, by the way. The joke went like this. On Father's Day, we thank our dads for 20 years of teaching us how to be a man. And then we spend the next 20 years teaching them how to use an iPad. You know, it's abuse that we take as dads. So make sure your dad knows that you love him. You know, we try our best as dads, and we you know, kids don't come with an instruction book. I know I didn't get an instruction book, and we make mistakes sometimes. And I can remember how scary it was when Carrie and I were having our first child, when my daughter was going to be born, and there's no instruction book, and you just do your best, and you want to give everything that your kids need. You want to provide everything, and you make mistakes along the way, like the time I fed my daughter taco meat while she was a baby. I mean, in my defense, taco meat looks a lot like baby food, right? It's very ground up meat. But, you know, she lived. And after like an entire pack of diapers, she was back to normal. And then dads, you know, it's a big responsibility. And we take that serious. And when we hear statements like this, like father, like son, wow, it's a big responsibility. You realize your children are watching everything you do, and they are going to do what they see you do. I mean, it's so cute when we see our kids try on our shoes and they put their little feet in our big shoes and they try to walk like dad. But then there's a time when they grow up and they're grown men and grown women, and your sons, maybe not only could they fit in your shoes, but they may have outgrown your shoes. And you realize, wow, everything they learned, their preparation in life, comes from us. It comes from watching us. Our sons learn to be men by watching us. Our sons learn how to treat women by watching how we treat our wives. Our children learn how to follow God by watching how we follow God. They learn what's most important in life by seeing what's important in our lives. What do we value? What do we put in the highest position? Is it God? Is it family? Is it money or business or pride? Is it honesty, integrity, or power, position? They learn these things. What is most important? And they watch us. And every parent knows this. Our kids learn more from watching what we do than hearing what we say. We can say the right thing over and over, but if they don't see the right thing in our life, they're not going to learn the right thing from us. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and he's telling them that he has become their spiritual father. And because of that, he's giving them this instruction. And in chapter 4, verse 16, He says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. I mean, imagine the confidence behind that statement. Hey, I'm your spiritual father. Imitate me. Walk like me. Do what you see me do. Dads, that's what our children need from us. I don't care how old they are. I don't care if you think it's too late or I've made too many mistakes. It's not too late. It's never too late to start living the right way and setting that example so that you can say, hey, son, daughter, watch me. Imitate me. And the only way as fathers, the only way as parents even, that we can tell our children to imitate us is if we are imitating him. In John chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, it says this, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. But Jesus is telling us he did what he saw the Father doing, and only what he saw the Father doing. We need to imitate him so that our children can imitate us. You know, in this moment, it's even why one of the disciples, when they said, Jesus, if you will show us the Father, that will be enough. And Jesus said, how can you ask me this to show you the Father? Don't you know me? And he was telling them, if you know me, you know the Father, because I do what the Father does. God sent Jesus to save us from sin. No doubt, that's one of the biggest things, to save us from sin, but also to show us how to live. So I'm ready to learn more about how to live like Jesus. How about you? You know, our struggle often as dads, and I believe this for a lot of dads out there, maybe the struggle is for you that you didn't have it modeled for you. You know, there's a lot of dads, I believe their struggle is that, you know, I didn't learn this from my dad, or maybe your dad didn't learn it from his dad. And the blessing that we have now as Christians is that no matter what your experience, no matter what you saw growing up, whatever was modeled for you, we have a Father in heaven that sets a new model. Jesus sets a new standard for us. He came and showed us this is who the Father is. This is how the Father lives. This is what the Father does so that we can imitate him and our children can imitate us. He's a good Father. Amen. Our God is a good Father. We even sing the song, he is a good, good Father. He wants to provide for you and for me everything we need in life to be successful. Like any good father, he wants to give everything for us. The Bible says that he gives us everything we need for life and godliness. The Bible says that every good gift comes from our Father. He wants you to succeed. He wants to give you everything you need. In the book of Acts, we see the birth of the church. Right there in the beginning, right when the church begins, and God the Father knew exactly what his children needed. He knew exactly what the church needed to succeed, and that was the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about this gift over and over. He spoke about this promise. He even told his followers, I am leaving so that the Father can send the Holy Spirit. He said, it's even better for you that I leave so the Holy Spirit can come. This was our Father in heaven. This was God providing for his children. This was our Father providing for the church right in the beginning when the church is born. I mean, all of us can imagine when we have that newborn baby and we want to provide everything that baby needs. This is the baby church, the birth of the church, and God saying, hey, here, I'm giving you everything you need through the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus had even told them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift, as I promised, just as I've told you before. He's going to send the gift that he promised. Jesus was saying it is very important. It was important to Jesus because it was important to his Father. It was important because the Father knew we needed this. Basically, Jesus was saying, don't go out and try to be my follower without the Holy Spirit. You need this. I mean, why would we go out and try to do a job without the tools required for the job? Have you ever done that around the house? Sometimes I like to fix things or repair things, and there is nothing more frustrating than trying to do something or trying to do a job and you don't have the right tools or equipment and you're just trying to work with what you have and you keep failing and you keep hitting your thumb with something. I mean, that seems to always be the process, and it is frustrating and it is painful. Can I tell you this, wherever you are right now, if living the Christian life is a struggle and a frustration, then can I just suggest that you ask the Father this, to send you the Holy Spirit? It shouldn't be frustrating. And if you have the right tools, if you have what our Father knows we need that's available to us, Father, send me the Holy Spirit. Then you have everything you need. Here's what you need to know about your Father. I have three quick things to tell you about your Father. Number one is this: God loves me personally. Say that where you are. God loves me personally. That's what you need to know about your Father. It's personal. And I'm intentionally putting these points in the first person because I want you to read it like that. I want you to read it. God loves me personally. The Bible says that He knows you. He knows your name. I mean, He's the one that formed you. He knows the plans He has for you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. You know, for some people, it's more than others, but however many it is, He knows the number. That is personal. It's personal. He loves you. It's not just He loves mankind. No, He loves you personally. Someone out there really needs to hear this today. Someone out there watching right now, you really need to hear this, that God loves you personally. You believe God loves the world. Oh, for God so loves the world. But what you're struggling to accept is that He loves you. He loves you personally. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14, Jesus shares this story and He says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." God values the one. God values you. He values you. He loves you, and it is personal. The second thing you need to know about your Father is that God gifts me individually. He has gifts. He gifts me individually. He gives us gifts, and it's an individual gift. It is for us specifically. In Acts chapter 2, we read about when the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit falls on the people. The Holy Spirit rests on all of the followers of Jesus in that moment. And in that moment, something very specific and something very special happens. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them." I want you to focus on that last part. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The Holy Spirit didn't just fall on a group of believers. I mean, honestly, that seems like it could have been the easiest method. Everyone's there together. They're all in one place. The Holy Spirit falls on the believers. Done. But it wasn't like that. It tells us that what seemed to be like tongues of fire separated and fell on each individual. He rested on each of them individually. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has gifts and abilities for you, not just in general for the church, for you individually. He gifts you individually. It's important for you to know so you don't spend your Christian life frustrated that you are not like someone else. There's so much comparison, and it can be so bad, especially with social media and everything that's out there, and everyone shares their highlight reel and the best meal they've ever eaten and the best thing they've ever done and all of that out there, and it makes you compare yourself. But when you realize, wait, God gifts me individually. You know, when I was a young Christian, our pastor, I was blessed with an amazing pastor. And he was a dynamic man of God, charismatic. And if you've seen the pastors like this, man, a loud voice stomping across the stage and sharing the word of God with passion. And the front row of the church was always covered in spit. You almost need an umbrella if you sat on the front. Man, it was amazing. I loved every time being in church. We were there every time the doors opened. We're like, man, this is amazing. The difficult thing was later on when I felt a call of God on my life, and I thought, well, I got to be like that, and I'm not like that. I'm not that loud. I don't spit a lot. I don't stomp around. I mean, inside, I'm doing all the same things my pastor did. I'm just as passionate about the word of God. I love Jesus just as much. Inside, right now, I'm stomping across the stage, spitting all over the media team. But it's not my personality. I had to realize, wait a minute, God isn't asking me to be like my pastor. God isn't asking me to be like this person or that person. God gifts me individually. The Holy Spirit fell and separated and fell on each of them. So don't spend your time comparing your gift to the gifts of others. Don't spend your time judging others based on your gift. Encourage them in their gift. Let me tell you another story about how God gifts us. God can and will use any of us at any time He pleases. I mean, He could use any of us at any moment, but He gifts those who are near Him. He gifts those who are walking with Him. He gifts those who are close by. As a dad, I often will, whenever I'm going out, ask the kids, hey, who wants to go with me? Who wants to come with Dad? And the one that goes with me, sometime during that outing, I'm going to stop and get them something special. I'm going to buy them a gift. I'm going to give them something that all of my children are not going to get. But the one with me, hey, do you want to get some ice cream? Do you want to stop and get McDonald's? Maybe we're near a toy store and I'll say, hey, do you want me to get you a toy? And I'll get them something special. I'll get them a gift that's special. When we get home, I always have to say, okay, get rid of the evidence. Because I don't bring one home to every one of my kids. It's for that one who came with me. It's for that one that was near to me. Does that mean that I don't love my other kids? No, of course not. But what it means is, it's because that child was near me. The one near me, he wanted to spend time with me. So there's a special gift there. And the one spending time with me is going to receive more than the ones not spending time with me. Which leads me to my third point today. The third thing you need to know about your Father. God wants to spend time with me daily. God wants to spend time with me daily. He is your Father in heaven. And He doesn't want anything more than you just taking the time to spend with Him, to sit with Him, to talk with Him, to pray, to tell Him about your life, to ask Him things, and to just be near Him. Sometimes it's just sitting in His presence. Maybe turn on a worship song and just sit with Him. Your Father loves that more than anything. Just the time spent together. He wants to spend time with you every day. There's a lot of verses about this, a lot of verses about walking with God and spending time with God. But one that stood out to me this week as I was studying is found in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 25 says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that one really stuck out to me this week. For one, living by the Spirit describes spending time with God daily. It is your life. It's how you live. It's how you breathe. It's how you move. It's how you think. It's living in the Spirit, living with God. That's a daily thing. As Christians, if we are not living by the Spirit, are we really Christians? Or have we missed something? If we're not living by the Spirit, what are we living by? Our own desires, our own passions, our own flesh? Church won't change your life. A pastor won't change your life. An amazing worship song won't even change your life. But when your life changes, it's the Spirit of God who changes you. The Spirit of God working in you and through you and changing you. It's because of the Holy Spirit that's at work within you. We must spend time with God daily. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path." So think about this. God's word, it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. His word shows us the way. His word gives us direction. His word keeps us from being lost or confused or not knowing which way to go. If you feel lost or confused in your life, you need to add more light. If you feel like you have no direction, you need to add more light by spending time with God and reading His words so it can be a light to your path. How many of you out there, you're asking God, what is the direction for my life? God, what is your purpose for me? What is your will for my life? You need to spend time in His word and let His word shine a light on your path. And then you'll say, wow, now I know where to go. And it's because you're walking with your Father. Keep in step. The other thought I had was when I was in high school band and when we were marching, it was very important to keep in step. Like if my right foot was going down when everyone else's left foot was going down, it meant that I was not in step with the band. Right, left, right, left, right. Keep in step. Walk together. Move as one in the same direction with the same rhythm, the same movements, the same thought, the same pattern. That's keeping in step. And this verse that's saying, keep in step with the Spirit of God. It means taking the same step at the same time, moving as one. Could I say it like this? I mentioned our kids putting their small feet in dad's big shoes when they're little. When you keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you are imitating your Father. You are walking like your dad. You're keeping in step. Hey, this is how my Father in heaven walks. Right, left, right, left. This is how the Spirit of God is moving. I'm moving with Him. I'm walking with Him. I'm keeping in step. I'm going in the same direction. I don't want to fall behind. I don't want to fall behind and get lost. I need Him. I need Him in my life. I want to be like Him. This is my life. This is my breath. This is my direction. This is my purpose. And He is such a good Father. He provides this for us so we can move with Him and step with Him and act like Him and speak like Him and do the things that He would do. He is such a good Father. He has given you everything you need. He loves you personally. He gifts you individually. And He wants to spend time with you daily. What is the result? Galatians chapter 5, before the keep in step verse, verses 22 through 26, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit, and let me tell you this, another term for fruit is result. It's a result. So it's saying the fruit of the Spirit, we could be saying the result of the Spirit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit in your life, the result of keeping in step with the Spirit in your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's not feel like we're doing it ourselves. And let's not compare ourselves to others. Let's just walk with the Spirit. The result of the Holy Spirit, those are those fruits of the Spirit that we learn about, the fruits of the Spirit that you may know already. And can I say this? If you lack any of those things, you simply need to spend some time with your Father. You simply need to ask Him to give you the Holy Spirit. You can even ask Him in a few moments when I pray for you. in this time, how can we love all people? I mean, there's no more important time than right now with the chaos going on around the world and people hurting, and they need the church to reach out and respond in love. How can the church love all people? How can we love people who are even not like us? The Holy Spirit. It's a result of the Spirit in your life. It's a fruit. How can you have joy no matter what your situation? And many of you, I'm sure, are in difficult situations right now. How can you keep joy right in the midst of it? The Holy Spirit. How can you have peace in the midst of chaos and uncertainty? The Holy Spirit. How can you be patient and have perseverance in the midst of a crisis? The Holy Spirit. How can you be kind and good and faithful and gentle? The Holy Spirit. How can you have self-control? The Holy Spirit in your life. How can you have self-control? How can you not live this life being ruled by your flesh and your lusts and your desires? How can you live being ruled by the Holy Spirit? You need him in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." There's two things that are opposing. They're in conflict with each other. And if we walk by the Spirit, our spirit will rule us. Our spirit will be what's living inside of us. And we won't give in to temptation. We won't give in to the flesh. We won't fail whenever something is brought before us. And we get stronger and stronger. And we walk more and more in step with our Father. We begin to walk more and more like our dad, like our Father in heaven. When we live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, we know what to do because we know what our Father would do. When we know how to live, it's because we know our Father's heart. And let me close with this before I pray for you. I can't think about Father's Day without thinking of that story in the Gospels that Jesus told about the father with two sons. Or maybe you know it as the story of the lost son or the parable of the prodigal son. There's a father there, and he has two sons. One son that doesn't really understand the father, but he follows the rules, and he does everything he's supposed to do. And the other son that just wants to go his own way. And that one son, he leaves the home. And after he leaves, he quickly finds himself in trouble. He wastes everything his father had ever given him. He's in trouble. He's lost. He's hungry. He has nowhere to go, and he's afraid to go back because he doesn't believe his father will receive him back. But he's desperate. He has nowhere to return. So he heads back home. And if you've heard this story, you know as he gets close, the father comes running down the road to him and wraps his arms around him and embraces him. And he does welcome this son back home. You know, I had a moment with one of my sons not too long ago. He was lost and in trouble. And he called me. I don't know if he had made a mistake or accidentally called me. I don't know what happened, but he was lost. He was in trouble. He had made some big mistakes, and he called me. "Dad, I'm lost. I don't know where I am." And I didn't ask him how he got lost. I didn't ask him what he had done. I didn't scold him for getting in trouble or tell him, "Hey, you got yourself into this mess. This is your fault." I didn't lecture him about how he got there and why he shouldn't have been there and why this should have never happened. I simply told him, "Son, tell me where you are so I can come and get you and bring you back home." Man, can I tell you, for a father, there is no worse feeling and knowing one of your children is lost. And that moment, I mean, it hurts my heart even now when I think about that phone call and remember my son saying, "Dad, I'm lost. Dad, I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get home." Can I tell you, wherever you are right now, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. If you feel like you're lost right now, he cares that you're lost. He's looking for you. He's been waiting for you. If you're lost today, can I tell you, your father is welcoming you back home. He said, "Just come home. I don't care where you've been. I'm not going to ask what you've done. I just want to see you coming back home. I just want to welcome you back and love you. If you feel like you relate more to that son, that you've been following the rules, you've been doing everything right, but you feel like, you know what? I don't even think I really know my father. Your father wants to tell you today, hey, just slow down and spend some time with me. Forget about all the works. Forget about all the things that you're doing. Forget about being so busy. Spend some time with me. Slow down. Stop all of that stuff. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know why. I don't want you to just know what to do, what to say. I want you to know why. Why? Why is that from my heart? Your father wants you to know his heart, so he wants you to slow down and get to know him. And today, could I tell you, whatever you need in your life, the answer is receiving the gift that the Father has promised. The answer is receiving the Holy Spirit. Don't try to continue in this life without the Holy Spirit. Receive the Spirit. Receive life. Receive freedom. Receive the results of the Spirit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of these amazing things that are all yours if you'll just receive the things that your Father wants to give you. Let me pray for you where you are. Father, I'm so thankful for the encouragement of your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that you put this word in my heart. And Father, I know that today there are people who are tuning in, people who are listening, and this word is from you to them. You gave it to me to deliver. So as they're sitting there today and they're feeling like, wow, this is really connecting. This really is touching my heart. It's intentional because you are speaking to them personally and you're speaking to them individually and you're calling them out, Lord God. So, Father, everyone, where they are, I pray that they would say right now, Father, I need you. Father, send me your Spirit. Father, help me to keep in step with you. Father, help me to learn to walk like you so that I can walk like my dad. Help me to know your heart so that I can be like Jesus and so that people around me, I can have the boldness and the confidence to say, hey, imitate me while I imitate him. Bless your people today, Lord God. Fill their homes with the results of their homes being filled with your Spirit. And I pray all of this in the mighty, powerful, and loving name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. I love you so much. More importantly, your Father loves you. So God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.